You may have heard people talking about blood moons. Are they celestial signs tied into the biblical feast of 2014 and 2015? Can they be signs of our Lord's return? Coming up next, a pastor with some insight. Stay with us.
When astronomers and theologians looked for patterns throughout the ancient biblical calendar with key prophetic dates, everything changed. Now, an unprecedented pattern has been discovered, a warning to all who live upon the face of the earth. For millennia, a rare celestial event known as the Blood Moon Tetrads has coincided with periods of monumental change, affecting the Holy Land and ultimately the world. But when it occurs is almost too shocking to believe. 1948, the Blood Moon Tetrads marked the rebirth of Israel. 1967, the Israeli Six-Day War and recapturing of Jerusalem. But in an age of globalization in which every conflict sends shockwaves throughout the world, it's what is yet to come that researchers fear the most.
Welcome to the program. Always glad you can join me. We say we have a fascinating topic today. I open the program here with a question. What happens when the moon passes through Earth's shadow and escapes the direct light of the sun? Well, it creates a blood moon. Well, you may ask, so what? Well, looking back on history, unusual things have happened during blood moons. Now, let me just say a word here in my intro about the importance of, well, the sun and the moon, the stars, biblically, the Bible has frequent references to the sun and the moon. Isaiah, Revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Joel, Mark 13:24, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give light. Psalm 89:37 says that the moon is a faithful witness in the sky. Joel 2:31 talks about the sun and the moon. The moon will be blood and the sun turned to darkness. So these verses are often given with a reference to the day of the Lord, and that is usually tied to the return of Christ. And I have found out, folks, that God always gives a warning before he executes certain things. We have some blood moons coming up in 2014 and 2015. And I guess I could ask the question, are the coming blood moons of 2014 and 15 a herald of something? A sign of the Lord's return? We don't know for sure. And whether they are warnings or omens, they should not be treated casually. Now, my guest today, Pastor Mark Biltz, and he's sort of the go-to man on the topic, and it is a complex issue, and we're going to try to keep things easy to understand. The connections to Israel, I find, are stunning, and the Bible is clear, again, that the sun, the moon, and the stars were to be a warning system. Now, what we're going to be talking today is more astronomy-related. This is not astrology-related, so I want to make that real clear right up front. Mark Biltz, welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times Radio.
I sure glad that you have me on.
Stunning information here, and I've done a lot of research on it, thanks to you, and primarily. Genesis 1:14 suggests that the elements in the heavens are there to be signs. The sun, the moon, the stars created to send signals to us. And in Luke 21, Jesus said to his disciples that there would be signs in the heavens before his coming. How did you get into not only studying this, but even sort of stumble upon it? And I think you observed a blood moon in Jerusalem.
Yes, I sure did, Jan. It was kind of exciting. I was, like everyone else, I was looking at the internet concerning this big lunar eclipse that was happening over Jerusalem, and I saw this gorgeous total lunar eclipse over the Temple Mount. And I was thinking about those very verses you were talking about. And because God is the greatest scientist, he created everything, I thought, wow, you know, about those verses, that, you know, these things would happen. So I thought, well, the plain meaning of this verse would be like a total lunar eclipse or a total solar eclipse. And because God created everything scientifically, NASA, you know, our government's website, lists 5,000 years of eclipses. They know exactly when they're going to happen, where they're going to happen, you know, and they have a list of 3,000 years in the past to 2,000 years in the future. So I went just to see if there was any interesting eclipses. This is back in 2008, you know, over the next 10 years. And I noticed these four total lunar eclipses right in a row in 2014 and 2015. And I thought, wow, how often does that happen? Because I really was new to studying this back in 2008. And I looked at NASA's website, and they call it a tetrad when you have four total blood moons in a row without a penumbral or a partial eclipse in between. And I looked, and there were none in the 1800s, none in the 1700s, none in the 1600s. And as I was looking at this, one early morning, I'm in my prayer closet praying, and all of a sudden it hits me. I need to convert these dates of these eclipses to the biblical calendar. It was on our normal Gregorian calendar. And so when I was looking at March and September, April, October, and when I switched, I noticed they were falling on the feast days, Passover and Tabernacles. And I thought, wow, not only what are the odds of them having four in a row, what are the odds of them also falling on the feast days? And so as I continued my search on NASA, I noticed in the 1500s, it happened like seven times that there were four blood moons in a row in that one century, but they didn't ever all fall on the four feast days. Right. So this increases the odds and the rarity. Well, guess what? Then I noticed in 1967, there were four blood moons, and right when Israel captured Jerusalem in 67 and 68. And then again, right after they became a nation in 1948, they happened in 1949 and 50. And as you quoted in Genesis 1:14, God created the sun and the moon to send signals. And the problem is our English translation. The next word is seasons. And so we think winter, spring, summer, fall. But actually, it's the same word that's translated as feast in Leviticus 23. So when I saw that God said he created the sun and the moon and the stars to send signals on his feast days, and then here this happened, you know, right after they become a nation, great biblically prophetic events. After they captured Jerusalem, it made me wonder what's coming in 2014 and 2015.
I think we can even go back to 1492, 93, 94. And, of course, that's when Spain kicked all the Jews out of Spain. And I know in one of your teachings, Mark, you say that Christopher Columbus was Jewish and that he possibly had a boatload of Jews who were actually fleeing Spain. I don't know if that's proven in history.
There are several books about that. His cartographer was Jewish. Several of them were Jewish. There may have been some Gentiles on that boat, but a lot of them were the Jews that had to leave.
But there was the blood red moon then, was there not?
1493, 1494. You're exactly right. This is why I think this is huge.
Really, what you're saying, at least in some of the teachings you do, is that these past blood moons are very much tied to history, the history of Israel. And the question is, in what's coming up in 2014 and 15, and again, they're going to be tied to Jewish feast days, to the Lord's feast days. They really are God's feast days. And I want to explain that in just a minute. I think the conclusion that we're drawing, and, you know, it's speculation right now that perhaps these tetrads coming up in 14 and 15, again, are going to have very significant, maybe catastrophic results. Maybe I think there's speculation on the Lord's return during that time period. Let's just dig a little bit deeper. I'm not quite ready to go there quite yet. And because you've said a couple of interesting things, and you talk about the Jewish calendar. All right, the world doesn't really operate on the Jewish calendar. It does operate on a Gregorian calendar. So you had to go to the Jewish calendar to discover these issues, correct?
Exactly, yeah. Jan. That's exactly right.
And you're not advocating getting rid of the Gregorian. We can't do that anyway. So
Correct. I'm not advocating that at all.
Now, the other thing is, as far as discerning the times go, because Jesus was very clear in the New Testament that he wanted the people, both of his day and any forthcoming generation, to understand to discern these things, to discern the times. And we've got the classic passage in